Hello, happy new year, welcome back to the big show. Yes, Compact and Bijou show this week. If I was an estate agent trying to sell this show, that's how I'd describe it anyway. Joining me to discuss the goings on in tech for the last month, because we've been away, working, I might add, not frivolously winding up. Chris Campion.
Evening.
You got to stop downloading the porn, mate.
It's not. I think it's the CPU on my Mac. I think I've got a 2011 MacBook Pro, and I think it's struggling now.
Oh, bloody hell. With Skype?
I think just looking at CPUs, just running a little high there, but I'll sort it out in the background.
26. How you doing, mate? Good Christmas?
I'm good. Yeah, brilliant Christmas. Lovely New Year. Quiet family Christmas this year. We didn't do a lot of running around. Really nice. Loved it this year.
You managed to avoid the in-laws?
Say again?
Did you manage to avoid the in-laws?
the in-laws called round, stayed an hour, and then we dropped them off with some leftover dessert and said, enjoy the rest of your day. See you soon.
Oh, good. Good. Brutal, but good.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. Daughter's six now, so she's properly into the whole Christmas thing. Really excited in the run-up to it, and I had a few days off in the lead-up to Christmas itself. So, yeah, enjoyed it this year.
What time did she wake up?
7. We got away with it.
Oh, you lucky git.
She did wake up at about 3:30 asking if he'd been. And we said no, and she didn't question it. She went straight back to sleep. And 7 o'clock she woke up.
Oh, you wait till she comes back and throws that in your face and tells you that you lied to her.
Absolutely. Oh, well, we'll deal with that. So yeah, me and my wife are both wide awake and waiting for the yell.
And then Gaz.
Hello.
Slightly different surroundings by the looks.
Yeah.
You had a quiet run into Christmas, didn't you?
So I had a very quiet Christmas. Yeah, didn't do much. No, not at all. Just moved house. The 22nd we moved in. It was quite an interesting Christmas. A lot of boxes everywhere. Not presents, though.
So the wife was pushing for the decorations to go up, and you were going, hang on, what about some curtains?
No. We didn't have curtains until after Christmas. Don't worry about the curtains.
Okay. Now, everyone's like, I'm glad you had a good Christmas, Gaz, but what they really want to know is whether you've got gigabit Ethernet.
I was digging a hole Christmas Eve. I was actually on the floor with this neon light that I've got.
You know, it's not like oil. You can't. It's not in the ground and you have to find it, no?
Well, this one I did. I'll tell you, this fiber, I had to dig oil. Yeah, and it is oil as well. So, I found the box. I had to dig from the edge of my plot to where the box was, and I had to go underground, and I know I had to measure roughly how deep it was and the length to get to it. It was definitely like a military operation getting out of Auschwitz or somewhere. I got it in, didn't actually get it plugged up and going until, I didn't do it Christmas Day because we went over my parents' Christmas Day. My wife's outlaws, as we call the in-laws, actually used to.
So,
But when we came back on Boxing Day, I think I've completed the connection.
So you didn't get to have a man. It's either you didn't get the service is so cheap because you didn't have a man who could put it in, or you're stealing it. Which
I just wanted to do it myself. You know what it's like, Ewan.
And they let you touch their box.
Yeah, they allow you to go. Yeah, they do. They allow you to do that. Yeah, there's a box inside the. I think they call it. Or what do they call it? A pot. They call it the pot. Yeah. And inside the pot, there's just a connection. And it's dead easy. It's really simple. It really is simple. You just got to be careful when you go in there. And they say to be careful. Go in. I connected it up. I told them the length of the cable that I needed. So we received that, obviously, before we moved in. And then, basically, I dug the hole to it. I've put it inside a water pipe as well, quite a tough water pipe, so it gets some protection. And then put it underground. Part of it is underground. I haven't dug the trench all the way, so it kind of comes out like a white oil coming out of the ground and then to the house. So I've got to finish that off.
I bet the wife loves that. Yeah,
it's not a problem because I've put it on the edge of the grass and it's under some hedges, so you can't see it too bad.
And speed.
Well, I went for the slowest speed, which is 50 up and 50 down. Okay. And I'm getting 50 up, 50 down pretty much all the time. Whenever I've tested it, it's 50 up and it's 50 down. And my ping is normally around 8 milliseconds, anywhere. But if it's 10 milliseconds, I've been surprised. Now, yeah. I'm not on a gigabyte tonight, but four or fiver, I can get that 48-hour gigabyte speed, and I have tried it. Now, I've got to sort out my routers a little bit. So I've got one router going through another router, and I think there was a problem with one of my cables, and I was only getting, when I went for that, and I didn't connect to the box directly, which I should have done to test it. But I was getting, I think it was 400 download, but I was actually getting 700 up. So it's there or thereabouts. I'll give it another test another weekend when we got a bit more time to do it properly.
400 down and 700 up.
And that just cost me an extra fiver. Now, even so...
How much is that a month if you want that speed all the time?
Okay. Oh, if you want that all the time, it's not too bad, actually. It's about 70-odd pounds, I think. Something like
close
that.
To
I
what
can't
I
remember.
Pay, yeah.
It's not. I think it's something like that. But with the phone service that I've ordered through them, and with the 50 up, 50 down, which obviously when I'm away on holiday, I'm not going to be paying for the gig of speed, which I don't need. So that's why I went for this option, because I thought I could actually buy the gig of speed when I need it. Because they're quite happy for you to just go on. And also, I went online, paid for it, and it was there almost straight away. So they register it really quickly. It's not like you've got to book it or wait for a few hours. It was there pretty much instantly. Hell. So I'm impressed so far. Really am impressed.
That's quite limited service, isn't it, guys? Is that right?
When you say limited, what do you mean?
Limited in terms of geographically,
not
available across
the country. Yeah. The companies, actually, there was a local company called Rutland, I think it was Rutland Fibre, I can't exactly remember, and they were taken over by this company called GigaClear. And GigaClear are based in Oxford, but they concentrate on rural areas. They're not really out, their business model is not out to do the big towns and cities. They're really out to cover rural areas. And if you've got a rural area and you can register 30% dedicated people that will sign up for it, they'll then put this service to pretty much every house in the village. And then hopefully, obviously, they're hoping that everybody comes and then links up to it to give them that business model. But as long as 30% of the village does that, then they're quite happy.
They've got to be getting a subsidy for that then. Because that's
they may well be yeah. They may well be, because they're on their own network. They're not using the back end of any other network. They're not using BT's network at all or anyone else's.
Great, mate.
So as long as it's working, I'm happy. But I tell you what, if it disappears, I put a 10-1 bet Virgin will take it over anyway. But while it's working, I'm taking it for sure.
Good man. Fair enough. Like that.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. I'm getting 300 down next month and 20 up, and I've got 20 up at the moment already, and 220 down at the moment is when it peaks, and I'm still jealous.
Yeah, well, you see, the thing is, Ewan, as well, when it was at busy times with Virgin, who I was with before, and I was getting the 200 down, when it was busy, I wasn't getting 200. I wasn't getting 100. It was nearer to, 60. On a good evening. Sometimes it went down to 40, and I was always ringing them up and complaining, and they weren't putting the capability in there to be able to service it. So I'm probably, even on their slower speed, better off than I was with Virgin. I certainly am up upstream.
50 up and 50 down, if it's consistent, is very
good. Yeah, I've not yet, and I've been testing it at all times of the day, and every time it's hit those speeds. So I'm well chuffed.
Very good. Very, very good. The week in tech, what's gone on, what's been happening? Elon Musk is going to get to fly again. SpaceX is back up and running, so everyone breathes a sigh of relief at that. You still can't get any AirPods if you want some without a 6-week wait. And and Tim Cook has also had his pay cut because he's not been a good boy. So, but we won't be covering those two stories because this is an Apple-free zone. So who's going to start us off then? Camps, do you want to do yours first? Yeah. I think this is a mileage. If we get Camps done first, then you and me can take up the time that's left over at the end, Gaz, because this one might rumble.
So there's mine in the chat room now. So what I brought along this week is, for anybody in the Slack room, they might have seen this mentioned in the security channel. I think Muller just dropped a link in a few days back. So over in Bentonville, Arkansas in the US, there's been a murder. So the accused, the sorry the a murder of a guy found floating in a, I think it was a hot tub. And the police, as part of their investigations, have gone in, and obviously they're doing their investigations, looking for clues, and they're a real key part of their investigations is all of the internet-connected devices in the house. So the guy had some sort of smart water meter. They've taken records from that. He had a heating system, several things. But the area I want to sort of focus on is the Amazon Echo. So he had an Echo in the property, and the police have gone through the courts, and they've got a warrant. And they've got a warrant to seize the Echo device to try and understand if there's any recordings on there that can provide any clues. They've also gone to Amazon and asked Amazon for all of the information about this guy's account. So any recordings that they hold, purchase history, account usage over the sort of a couple of days particular that they're interested in. And Amazon have given them purchase history, and they've given them details of sort of how that account's been touched over the couple of days, but what they haven't given them is any of the voice recordings. I just thought this is a really interesting one, because this now shows, and I kind of don't want to go all sort of tinfoil hat here, but this really shows how legal cases, it does link back to the Amazon FBI case last year, around how internet connected devices and mobile devices are now creeping in more and more into serious legal cases.
Oh, discuss.
Well, I'd like to jump in straight away and ask, they gave that data, I assume the police asked for it and got a warrant for it.
They did. Yep, they've got a warrant for it.
All right, so they've got a warrant for that information. So because they haven't given them any voice information yet, is that because they've not yet got a warrant? Do we know that or not? Because I would have thought that's going to be absolutely key for them if they've actually got that data on their servers.
I don't know if they've gone that far yet with the warrant. Amazon have, and I've got a statement somewhere that I'm just trying to look for in the background. Amazon have said if the police have gone through the right legal procedures, they will fully cooperate.
Right.
So my assumption is when that warrant comes in, they will turn over. That is an assumption. I don't know that for sure.
Okay, so I'm the family of that person. I'd be all over this and saying, give us the data to find. If obviously there's no connection with the family wanting to get rid of the guy, if it's all innocence, fine. Mm. I'd be all over it and wanting that data out, I think. So from that perspective, I don't think there's a great issue as long as you go through the right legal procedures. What it does raise is the fact that somewhere someone has your data. And if that someone is hacked, just be careful what you're putting up in the cloud.
Yeah, I suppose specific to this case, and a quote from a, what website is this? It's Bloomberg Big Law Business. So Kimberly Webber, who's an attorney for Bates, who is the accused, said her client's pleaded not guilty and is not afraid of what the Alexa could reveal about his whereabouts. So I'm fairly sure from that statement that they're probably going to provide permission for the police to have the records. I think with this, it's the interesting point around, so what data is there? So as I understand it, and please jump in if anybody knows any better, if anybody in the chat room knows any better, please let us know. As I understand it, the RAM within the Alexa device, obviously Echo or Dot, is recording constantly. It's listening for the wake word. When it hears that wake word, it's recorded a clip of information. As soon as it's heard that wake word, that's when it starts providing information back to Amazon's cloud service, and it's ultimately recording stuff at that point. I think the data in the form of voice recordings that it holds on the device will probably be tiny, unless there's any little snippets that it's recorded, sort of background noise when that wake word's been said. Is it just Jeff? Is that the way? Is that our?
Just Jeff, yeah.
Just Jeff. So, when Just Jeff said, Any sort of ambient noise in the background, anything that could be overheard, for instance, that might be captured on the device, but that's got a very small memory. So depending on if it's been listening in the background, that might even be over-recorded by that point. So it's what's, as far as I can see, there's two key places where there's going to be data held about what's being said or what the Just Jeff device has heard, and that is either in the Just Jeff app on the phone itself, which obviously has a text version of the questions that have been recognised and asked of Just Jeff, and also anything that's held on Amazon servers themselves. So I think it's a really interesting one, and I think Amazon are probably going to have to think really carefully in terms of how they manage this going forward, because one thing that they don't want to do is damage the integrity of the Echo brand and the Echo devices as a result of wherever this case goes.
I think what they've got to do is just reassure people of what it's recording when it's recording. So when, you know, it's always listening. But then from that, people might assume, well, if it's always listening, is it always recording? Is it always gathering that data and putting it somewhere? And as long as they can assure people of that, that it's not recording every single activity which is going on, but it's only recording when you ask or when you want Jeff to respond to you.
I wouldn't be surprised to find out, though, that the terms and conditions for Alexa probably do state that they can gather any data from that and store it however they so choose. Otherwise, they'd be in all kinds of cases for class action. So I would say that they might not choose to enforce it. The device may not actually do it, Gaz, but I'm sure their terms and conditions, he says, we can take what we like.
Yeah, true.
And they anonymize it out of good practice rather
than... Yeah, but that... Okay, fine. Nobody reads the T's and C's. But so what people have got to have confidence in is that they are not doing anything that they would deem wrong with that information and that data.
I think the interesting argument from a legal viewpoint is what your expectation of privacy is. Because if someone overheard your conversation and you had secreted yourself away and you had an expectation of privacy at that point, it's a bit different if it's a criminal offence, but if you're talking about a civil liable case or something like that, where something was said and then it was repeated, I think if you said that, you know, you'd taken reasonable measures to expect your privacy to be honoured, then they might struggle to actually present that as evidence. I don't think it's going to work in a criminal case, but
are you inviting them in by having that product?
I think you are. I think on this one, I think it's difficult to say that you've got a right of privacy on this one. Amazon is a commercial vendor, commercial organisation, and I think what you're doing is you're swapping, you're exchanging your right of privacy for in exchange for services.
No, steady on, mate. There's a famous case there is a famous case in the UK certainly that applies, where it says a license to enter the premises is not a license to slide down the banister. So you can be very specific about what licenses you're issuing to people when you get them into your house, and that would include any services that would come into your house. So
do you think that could be wrapped within the T's and C's then? You are authorising.
Yeah, no, I'd be very surprised if it wasn't. But I think if you take Alexa in and you look at what Alexa is providing you with, you clearly cannot have privacy with that on the basis that you have to say, just Jeff, I want to do this. But you would not expect it to record everything. I think that they've done this because, and again, I think it's like the FBI case with the Apple phone, was that they're doing it because this is a potential source of evidence. It's a capital trial that's going to take place. They have to close off every avenue of potential investigation that they possibly can. So they've got to ask for, what have you got? And I'll lay you money at 100 to 1 on that Amazon don't have any data beyond the second before and the second after Alexa said. As you said, Chris.
Yeah.
But I think
You'd lay money on that's what they're going to absolutely make sure they show, or you'd lay money on that's really what they've only got.
I think that's all they've got. You look at the amount of conversations that you have and how inane they would be in 99.9% of households. Why on earth would Amazon want to keep any of it? It's like me shouting at Ellis or me shouting at Bryony for not clearing his plate out of his bedroom when he had some snacks the day before or something like that. And it's just why is that?
All they've got to do is got to put a keyword search on it, haven't they? You know, if they've got specific keyword searches on that information, then they're going to learn more about you and what to sell to you.
I don't know about the conversations you have, Gaz, but virtually all the conversations we have over our dinner table have got sod all to do with our purchasing histories.
But you're not talking about purchasing history. You're talking about what you're eating. You know, that was a lovely beefsteak tonight. To remember, they're getting into groceries, they're getting into all sorts of stuff.
My wife has a go at me because I don't notice what we're eating. So.
Well, then I bet she needs a lot of tissues to cry herself asleep when you're not listening to her.
I think also as well, you know, there is a certain argument that if you've invited Amazon in to do this thing for you, you've got to treat just Jeff like it's another person in the room, and therefore you don't say something that would be stupid or incriminating.
Not only another person, a stranger.
Yeah, it's another stranger. Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, there's a certain point. There's a point made in the chat room by Deep Pan about the fact that it's actually the smart water meter that's probably going to be the stool pigeon in all of this. Because it registered 140 gallons of water being used between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Probably to conceal blood, etc., etc., and hose stuff down.
I went to a friend's house. We went there for New Year. We went out for New Year. We got back to their house. And he's a tech guy, but he knows I'm like the next level up with tech and, you know, really interested in all that sort of stuff. And he said, Gaskell, look, I've got an Echo. And he shouted it at Jeff to give him the football results. So I straight away said to order, I don't know how many packs of toilet rolls. Yeah. And he went, no, stop. And he looked at me and he said, I didn't realise it was that responsive. And I went, oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Now, he hadn't had it very long. He's a techie guy. He's a techie guy, but you know, he hadn't realised how responsive it was. Yeah. So,
and it learns. I mean, I was as a bit of research ready for this article. I've had a look, and within my Amazon account, if I just log into my Amazon account as normal, look under my devices and my dot, there's an option for me to manage my recordings, and I can delete my recordings in there. And the sort of the disclaimer or the information window that pops up basically says that they're using that information to recognize how I speak, how I phrase certain things, and it's based on that information that they make my dot, in theory, more accurate in terms of the responses that it gives me. And I have to be honest, since I put it in the first few weeks, it said plenty of times, I'm sorry, I don't recognise the command that you're saying, or words to that effect. But over time, it has got more and more accurate. And what I'm tempted to do is actually delete my recordings to see if it does trip backwards or not. And if accuracy becomes a bit of an issue for it again, and it has to learn me over the next few weeks.
That would be it can't learn from dictated history.
No,
that's like saying as an analogy, I wonder if I'll forget how to read if I throw away all my books.
Yeah, no, that'll be the algorithms, won't it? That's learning from that.
That's on the inside. It won't need a recording of what you've said to learn. It's already
But I'm wondering if they store those recordings.
It won't need the recordings to
continue
to keep that intelligence, I think, yeah.
No, I wouldn't have thought they'd store the recordings. Once they're factored into the algorithms and once they've learned from them, they would discard them. There's no value.
I would have thought so.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought so anyway, no. Didn't you say it does a couple of seconds before the trigger word?
So I've just found a bit of an article and it said...
That means it's always recording then.
It's always recording.
Yeah.
It's always listening.
So what it says here is, internally on the Echo, there's a loop of sound that's stored as RAM. It's constantly recording a very short loop internally, and it's It's constantly analysing that loop for the wake word. The sound slightly before and until conclusion of that command will be recorded as audio, transmitted to Amazon and stored. It's stored until you delete it. It's not there. If there's no, I'm not sure if there's an upper limit on how much can be stored. I've well over a year's worth now in my personal account, and that's obviously from the person who's written this article, and that's in the Bloomberg Big Law Business document on it.
Interesting.
But it'd have to do that to get the wake word correct.
Yeah, I was more about the point that you said it got a year's worth of recording.
Goes back to my point, yes, whereas if I go into my Amazon account, I can delete, on the manage my recordings, I can delete everything in there.
Yeah, but it's not. It hasn't got a year's worth of every conversation that person's ever had. It's got a year's worth of him saying, "Just hey, just Jeff."
Okay.
So
I believe that.
Well,
that's right,
surely not, because that's a pointless storage. That's absolutely pointless storage.
No, it overwrites it. It just continually loops it. It's like your dash.
No. But I thought that you'd said that he'd actually got a year's worth of all of those recordings.
Yeah. So what it says is there's a loop within RAM on the device itself.
Yep. Got that.
And then so the sound slightly before and until the conclusion of the command will be recorded as audio, transmitted to Amazon and stored. It's stored until you delete it. That's what it says here.
So if you have a really long conversation with him, that could be there and stored up there.
If you have a really long conversation with just Jeff, then all of that will be up there.
Yes, that's what I meant. Yes. Sorry, that's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, but it would only be up there to the point that she says, "I have no clue what you're talking about, mate, move on."
Yeah, and then it'd stop.
I mean, Bryony and Alexa are best mates, but Jeff can't understand Bryony because, A, she speaks with a quite high-pitched voice, so she doesn't like that. She's got to have a lower-pitched voice, and it's like, "Bryony, slow down and speak lower." And she has to kind of go, "Alexa," to get her to do it. And she's doing. They're studying Indo-Asia at the moment at school, and she was talking about the Indus Valley. And I was saying, "Well, where is it then? Ask Alexa." And she said, "Alexa, where's the Indus Valley?" And she came back with, and Alexa said, "The Indus Tandoori restaurant is in Sutton Coalfield, which is 11.3 kilometres from you. Would you like their details?" No, that's not the Indus Valley. That's the Indus Tandoori restaurant. And the other thing as well that happened this morning was Ellis said, "Is today Friday?" And Bryony said, "Yesterday." And I was like, "No, it's today." And Bryony went, "No, yes, it's today." And that's like... I'm a grown adult. She's a perfectly versatile child, speaking wise, and we had trouble understanding each other. And you look at the number of times that just Jeff comes on by themselves with when it's not been a late word, particularly around televisions as well. We've got one under the TV, and she's regular saying, "I haven't got a clue what you've just asked me." If I was Amazon, I'd want to know that so I could become more accurate at only switching on when I was required. Because if she's constantly switching on, people are going to get pissed off with that and plug her and throw her in a drawer. And that's not what they want. So
I mean, there is a trick, but obviously it's got a hard mute button on top of the devices. And if you hit that mute button, it turns the microphone off. Therefore, just Jeff can't hear anything you're saying anyway. So if you really don't want it to be listening, you have to push the button.
I bought one for my mum and dad for Christmas because they said they really wanted it as a Christmas present. I said, "Yep, that's okay." And they love listening to music, so you know they use the Amazon Prime music on it a lot. But they said, "Oh, after second day, she was like, she won't do anything that we want. We can't hear what she's saying, so we've pushed a red button on the top, and she stopped doing it now. But she's not doing anything else." And it's like, okay, unpush the red button, right? So now say Just Jeff, volume 5. So, and then she said, "Oh, I can hear it now." I said, "Okay, so you turn the volume down." "No, we didn't do it. It just did it." "No, Mum, it just can't just do it, okay?" And it's like, Christ, it's an Amazon Echo, for Christ's sake, and I'm already doing tech support. I think this is going to rumble on a bit. I'll be interested to see, A, what comes out of this as to what Amazon have kept, because if there is a court order then saying that they've got to release it, they will have to release it all.
They
won't get a choice. And I don't think they'd be bothered, because it doesn't affect them whether they do or don't. But I can't see it being anything at all. And I think it's just, there is an interesting question about what your expectation of privacy is with an IoT device when it comes into your house. Mm-hmm. And obviously, clearly, if you understand what data it does store, but you don't understand what data it does store that you didn't think it did store. So like if your water meter thing that was mentioned there by Deepan, you know, you expect it to store the water meter data, so you can't complain when it does store the water meter data. Yeah. But if you start saying, oh, actually the water meter then started storing all the gas data and all my voice recordings and something else, you're like, wow, hang on a minute, you know, that's not what I bought that thing for.
And you've got things like the Hive and the Nest, and you can set those thermostats up to turn your heating on as you approach your house. So if the authorities wanted to check those devices to find out sort of through a GPS point of view, you've entered a location, your heating's come on, and that data's stored within those devices. So in other words, yes, you were home at that point in time. All that information's available on IoT devices if ever needed.
Well, the device that you were carrying was in that location.
And I'm doesn't sure mean, doesn't it's mean, something
doesn't
like
mean
the...
you were means the device that you
own.
That you own was in location. It could have been stolen from you.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing with this case is as well, that they're trying to tie the fact that they know a murder had taken place. There is a dead body which has clearly been mutilated somehow and murdered. And you've then got to show that the person did it. So if they hear the word kill or going to or something like that around the Amazon Echo, that would be, okay, yeah, clearly this person did do it. And then there's, and I think as well, if the voice recording, it's a transcription, whether it's actually the person's voice or not, is a different question. Chat room's jumping in. Grown Up Geek did a pen test of the device, and he noticed that there's packet traces that did show that recordings and transmissions are a few seconds prior to and after the trigger word. They're also talking about separations of Echo is there to try and work out and identify multiple accounts and separate people, perhaps in the long term, says Deepan as well. Grown Up Geek is also being driven mad by his daughter and one particular song. Mate, Christmas. I'm all right with Christmas music and stuff. I jog along through Christmas. It's pleasant and that's it. And I get to the end of it. It's like, okay, well, that was quite pleasant, but it was the end of it. By 5th of December, I wanted Christmas to be over, because Bryony would come down every morning, just Jeff, play Christmas songs. And the thing was, it played the same frigging songs. I used to love Fairy Tale of New York. I can't stand it now. I loathe that song with an passion.
Oh.
I hate Alexa.
See? Amazon have got some learning to do yet.
Yeah, my daughter's addicted to animal game, where you basically, through yeses and noes, just Jeff asks you questions. Does this animal have four legs? Does it? Is it a pack animal? And she's sat there saying, yes, no. Daddy, does it do this? Daddy, does it do that? I'm fed up with that game.
Get a four-year-old being asked, is it a pack animal? Daddy, what's a pack animal?
Yeah, in fact, we played that game. Now you'd say that. I was rather drunk at the time. But I think I did confuse it, and I came up with some weird object, which was completely wrong. So.
Well, the thing is, you guys, is it a pack animal? And you go, and then you go, Alexa, what is a pack animal? And she goes, I don't know what you're asking.
I've tried to get Alexa playing Cards of Humanity with me, but she's not having it.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, sorry. Just Jeff.
No, that wasn't you. I triggered it earlier on. Intel issues bath bags at CES. Tell us more, guys.
Well, actually, I was going to start off with the fact that, you know, virtual reality is the new world. It's going to be everywhere. Everyone's going to be using it as long as you've got a sick bag with you. I came across this story and I thought, oh, I've got to put this on tonight. So apparently attendees at tech trade shows are accustomed to getting plied with all sorts of swag, But those who attend in-house event on Wednesday, this is obviously at CES, got something rather different. Sick bags. They're calling them bath bags. I'm going to call them sick bags. Intel had to, I don't know why they had to, but they had to hand out the paper receptacles, which are typically reserved for the hapless passengers on bumpy airplane rides, to attendees at its press conference at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Nevada. A precaution in case audience members got sick during the virtual reality experience. So there you go, folks. Virtual reality is here, and virtually you're going to be sick. So, you know, there you go. That just made me laugh out loud, and I thought I've got to include this.
Well, so you say that, but we had at the Bash a couple of years ago, Rob Birch, hello Rob if you're watching, brought out
Hi, Rob.
An Oculus Rift.
Yeah. Yep.
Two. And I had a go on the one that it was kind of like a Wipeout type game where you went round some spirals, and I was having a go at it and kind of doing okay, and I felt fine doing it, just going around with it, because I was keeping my head still. But then I realised that I got distinctly better at the game if, instead of just looking where I was going, I looked where I wanted to go. So while the thing's steering through the bit that I'm on, instead of watching what was in front of the nose of the vehicle that I'm in, I'm looking to where I wanted to be for the next move. And of course that point then moved, and my head was going around sort of 180 left and right, and I had to stop after about 2 minutes.
Yeah,
because I was ready to throw up. I'd had a big pork bap as well, which didn't help much.
No, probably didn't
by that point.
And some it doesn't say and some anything about brownies. pork babs.
But I was ready to hurl. So I think
I'm not sure it's a good selling point, is it? Oh yes, yeah. Come and try this. Oh, by the way, it's a sick bag.
I was just about to say. Having been at the Bash and saw that Ewan couldn't go to the Kismet after going on the that Oculus, obviously I saw the effect it had. However, would this story have made CES headlines had there not been bags there? Is this also a fantastic market play?
Yeah, very good point.
Yeah, but I don't think, there's no such thing as bad press. I think this is bad press myself. It may not be bad press for Intel because it gets the Intel name out there, but I think it's bad press for... so there you go. Perhaps I've said it. It may not be bad press for Intel, but it's bad press for, virtual reality. But Intel don't care as long as their name gets shouted about, possibly. I do think that they've got to get that sorted out, and I don't think you can ever get that sorted out because your brain and your eyes and your body is telling you something completely different to what's actually happening, and I think the body just struggles with that. So I don't know how they're going
to
overcome
that. Well, it's to do with differentiation of information, isn't it? So your ears are giving you information that you're moving because of the semicircular canals and the hairs that are in those, but your eyes are actually saying that they're still. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think there's another thing as well, is whether you're susceptible to motion sickness or not.
Yes, yeah.
So...
But I thought I loved it. I loved it. It just made me laugh.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting one. So that wasn't real?
I suppose the point it's making is virtual reality basically 3D TV, which kind of fell on its face a little bit.
No, it's definitely not. Having nearly spewed.
It's not 3D. No, I mean in terms of not going anywhere.
I think there's a future for it. I think one of the problems you've got is that a lot of the stuff is still kind of pseudo-vaporware, isn't it? I mean, Oculus is still not out there after two and a half years of being... I mean, it was bought by Facebook two and a half years ago. And it's still not out there.
Yeah. Mm. But is this part of that problem and why it's never really going to get into mainstream? And that's the thing. I mean, we're talking about mainstream. There are obviously going to be some fantastic usage for this sort of technology, but... It's never going to go mainstream, I don't think.
I think it's got its place. I think it's got a place in gaming. I think the PlayStation VR, I've not used one yet, but the reports that I've read is it is extremely immersive. It's a great device. I think it's got some usage in probably some specialised scenarios. So we once talked about a story where it was used in an operating theatre, and it brought student surgeons close to sort of a real life operation. They could see everything. Yeah. I think have we talked about a story as well, Ewan, where was it in a war zone or something like that, where you could put in within training regimes, you could put people in a situation based on the VR headset so they can look around, and I can't remember the exact story. So I think there's uses for it out there. Would I want one in my living room? Be able to watch a movie on? Nowhere.
No.
I think that for me is absolutely where it compares to a 3D TV, and that I wouldn't want to sit on my sofa with 3D glasses on and watch something. A cinema's very different, but at home as a consumer product, no, I wouldn't want one in the living room, not for watching TV or movies.
I think I mean VR's been the promised land since the mid 80s, late 80s when I was a kid. So I mean, there was like a tank game, wasn't there, that you used to go through pyramids.
Oh yeah.
And you could look around with it on Atari, made it. And I remember seeing that, and I remember seeing there was one for the police, like a driving thing, and that was, you could move your head around and do that kind of stuff, and it was always this next big thing, and it's always been the next big thing for the last 30 years, and it's still not a big thing because no one's got it in their hands where it really works properly. I know that they're saying this Samsung thing with the 360 camera and the headset, and I've seen the 360 YouTube videos that are on the space station and that kind of stuff. They're great, but it's like, okay, I did that, and then you move on. It's never going to be an integrated part of your life.
That's why I think I don't think it's mainstream. There are going to be some technical applications for it where it's going to be extremely useful and helps, you know, possibly in some fantastic situations. But other than that, can't see it. Unless you've got a bath bag with you.
So take us through your real story then. Aliens spotted in Elite Dangerous Space Game. What?
Now, I remember this coming out. I've not played this game, I'll be honest with you. But I do remember the story when this first came out, that this was some massive, massive space game, which you could just go and you could just go forever, go on and on and on, searching for stuff. And now, apparently, it just popped up on my radar today that it says, after years of waiting, a player of the Elite Dangerous game seems to have encountered its mysterious aliens. So basically a gamer has recorded a video of his encounter with a massive flower-shaped organic craft late on 5th of January. Other players of the space exploration training game have grabbed videos of similar meetings in deep space, which indicates to me that all of a sudden it's popped up, which means it's just been written into the script and is now suddenly appearing. Or am I being cynical? I don't know.
Of course you are. That's exactly what's happened. It's a game. It can't do anything else.
They obviously, it's a bit like the bath bags, I suppose. You know, we need to get some tread on this game to get people interested in it again. Yeah, launched in 2014. Strange objects floating around space and structures found on isolated moons and planets revealed clues about the location of the aliens. And now they've found them. So that's it. End of that game. Sorry about that. That was a quick story, wasn't it?
It was. Bloody hell. I had never heard of it. Never mind.
What I was also thinking when I was reading this story was the bit, you know, we keep going to back to the fact of, are we actually in a matrix? So are we actually in a universe which has been artificially created? And I heard, I can't remember, I'll have to see if I can dig it out at some point. I heard a podcast exactly about the situation of, okay, what if we are in a created world, a created universe? So what? We still feel we're real, so we must be real, even, you know, if that is the case. And it was an interesting conversation. And this kind of, when I spotted this, I suddenly thought about back to that process of whether we live in a created universe by some superior alien.
I would say, so I know that that's bunkum. Do you know why?
Why? Because this show exists.
No, because it, well, mate, that's a good point actually. But if you wanted civil order and you wanted to reap people for the purposes of energy, like as in the Matrix, you'd create a world where people were actually happy in it most of the time, and I wouldn't be a fat bloke with a tiny penis. You know, it just. It's just not. It's not the sort of thing that you do. I'd no, be happy.
That's made me happy. You saying that?
I'd have a big house and a big schlong and loads of children and women and an endless supply of money.
Yeah, but there are people that have got that. So what they're trying to work out is how happy it makes them to see them with that and you with your small penis and your small mouth.
It's just like... It's just, you know, if you wanted civil order and you wanted people to generate energy for you, you'd make them happy.
Yeah, but it may just be an experiment. Anyway, we're getting off this. That's a massive story, that one. I think you could go on for hours on that story.
There's got to be a show title in there somewhere.
The small penis, I think, is your show title.
Mate, I get emails every week telling me I've got it. I don't need it.
But I did remember this coming out, and it was funny that I remember it, and I didn't realize it was 2014, but there you go, it was 2014, so almost 3 years ago, and bing, it suddenly popped up, and you know, they're starting to see these aliens now. Whether they've got to do a little bit more exploration and find out a little bit more about these aliens,
it's
I don't know.
It's not
a game that I've been involved with.
They got you, Gaz. Yeah. They saw you coming, mate. Musk thinks we're in a simulation, but then again, he's a Muppet, says Deep Pan. And the grown-up geek has put a not-safe-for-work Alexa child fail in the chat room, which I'll have a watch after the show. But if you want to know... shut up! And Mullerstead, stop saying Alexa. Cancel. what was I going to read out? If you want to know what's in the chat room and you're thinking, oh, I'd like to click that link that the grown-up Greeks just put in, then all you've got to do is go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and click on the relevant day, which is the 6th of January, and all of the transcription of everything we've done for all the shows today will be in there as well. Okay, so done. My story is about Norway.
Okay.
We don't cover Norway here that often, do we? Closest we get is a bit of streak in Sweden. Norway is about to turn off the FM radio signal. And I thought this was quite interesting, that you look at what's gone this year, ports out of computers and earphone jacks out of iPhone 7s and Galaxies, and they're going to turn off the whole FM signal. In Norway, there will be nothing. It's also interesting as well, because if you look at the landmass of it, you've got fjords, you've got big mountains and that kind of stuff, and actually digital audio broadcasting probably doesn't penetrate particularly well in most areas in Norway in the first place. You're serving a large landmass with a small number of people, and 66% of the population have said that they do not want the FM signal to be switched off. But they're pressing ahead with it.
I do find that incredible.
Yeah.
Do we need the FM signal? Discuss. Chat room, start in, mate.
Well, if you want up-to-the-date information rather than delayed, then yes. You know, if you want to know when it is actually the new year, don't go on a digital signal.
No, I mean, the other thing as well is so doesn't the FM signal carry the traffic information?
Yes.
When it delays?
I think it does, doesn't it?
Is that the TMS thing?
Yeah. Yeah, it must do, because my previous car had that, and it didn't have, it wasn't digital. So, yes, it must do.
Yeah, I don't know. Just 17% are in favour, and the rest of the population outside of the 66% are undecided.
I'd like to know what they're trying to save by turning it off.
Apparently Deep Pan sussed it out. He says they're sick and tired of listening to Aha constantly on the radio.
I've not got a lot of experience in things like FM, so I'm just doing a bit of a Wikipedia search on it. And it says, interestingly, frequency modulation is also widely used for telemetry, radar, seismic prospecting.
There's loads of
different things.
No, hang on, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that Norway's going to have a barrier up that stops the use of FM.
The FM signal going.
They're just switching off.
It's only the radio
network. Yeah, the radio networks and the TV masts and stuff like that. Anything that carries FM is going to go off because it's all digital now.
So what's the benefit of them doing it?
Must be saving the money in some respect. They're probably going to be getting rid of those towers. I don't know. It's just...
A good digital adapter for an FM car radio costs £1,500 for digital. That's around $174. He said for the same cost, digital radio in Norway allows 8 times more radio stations than FM. The current system of parallel FM and digital networks, each of which cost around 250 million crowns, $29 million per year. So that's an investment in the program.
Okay, all right, fine. So that's what they're saying they're saving. They're going to be saving $29 million a year by turning it off, which they can invest in more digital channels to get down each field.
Yeah.
So they're just going to spend it on sending the signal a different way.
Or not, careful, maybe.
As far as I'm aware, you
can't start shaping a digital signal around a mountain or...
No, that's true. So
down a valley.
So those people who can't receive the Norwegian FM signals are just going to turn their radio masts to other FM signals that they can receive.
Deepan's also making a point here. Can the frequency then be remodulated or repurposed for the use of 5G, cell phone, etc.?
Possibly.
Good point.
Swamp Rat says, if they switch off the FM signal here in the US, I have nothing to listen to. Mate, I've listened to US radio. You've got nothing to listen to already. Since the cassette part of my radio in the 1998 Ford Ranger stopped working years ago, I've got a short commute. I can't see going to the expense of replacing the radio with something more modern. You probably need to replace the car, don't you? A 1998 Ford Ranger. I'm not sure I even own anything that goes back to 1998. Let alone a car. I've managed to shag mine up in about 3.5 years.
Yeah, that car's doing well.
You're making up for that small penis of yours.
Thanks, mate. Need reminding. It's bad enough that I've admitted it without being reminded of the fact.
Oh, sorry. I thought that's why you wanted. That's why you mentioned it.
No, it's not therapy, mate. It really isn't.
Oh, isn't it? All right, I'll shut up then. I want to know that there's a better reason than just saving you money.
There's a certain element of we just seem to race towards, you know, oh, it's cool, let's do that. And then we're going to regret it in a few years' time. Mm-hmm. There's a network of radio masts that have gone into complete decline that we can no longer fire up. When the aliens invade and we need to send shortwave transmissions or FM transmissions around the world because they can't block that, then I just think we've got to be careful. It's like, I tell this story on a regular basis, and I've told it before on this network. I went to see a friend in Bournemouth years ago, and we were talking about their honeymoon, which was to Egypt, and he said, oh, the people in Egypt now, he said, you can't believe that they built the pyramids because, you know, it's so simplistic, their life. It's so negative. It doesn't feel complicated in the slightest. And his wife leans out from the window and says, Jason, where are the matches for the barbecue? And third drawer down on the left, so she goes back in. And I said, but the thing is, Jace, you say about their, you know, backward, if you like, against the technology that built the pyramids. If she can't find the matches, are we going to eat this afternoon? And it's true, you know, without a match, I can't make fire. You know, give any one of us any natural things and tell us to create a spark to make a fire. Without a flint, I'm not talking of Bear Grylls, and I get instant sparks. Pieces of wood, bits of rock. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, make me a fire, mate. I'm not sure any of us could do it. Does that make us stupid? Yes, technology makes you stupid. And I just think sometimes we race towards advancing and switching off stuff without realising that actually at some point we may want it back.
So what I'm hearing you saying is we're racing to our own oblivion. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you are.
I think that was the point to my potentially stupid question then, because if the cost to Irvin is through taking the masks down, how do things like telemetry, radar, all the rest of those things, how do they work if there's no FM masts anymore?
Well, they've got their own masts, I think, is probably, you know, if you've got your own
network. Is that all the same?
Yeah, equally, though, we talk about FM. It's relatively short range anyway. You know, are they still pushing out medium wave and short wave radio signals as well? You know, or are they turning those off? Is it just FM? Because the amount of times that my wife's radio keeps swapping from radio 2 because the signal is poor. I'm not sure FM is actually as good as we perhaps think it is. I don't know. I'm not really an expert on FM radio. But
by my experience, it's more reliable than bloody DAB is throughout the country.
Yeah, well, that's...
It drops out all over
the place. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But Swamp Rad's Ford Ranger since 1998, right? He's only done 75,000 miles on it, and he says, I use it to go to work. Well, you should be bloody walking, mate. Since 1998, if it's only covered 75,000 miles, mate, you should have walked that. Oh, so right, so we got Mr. Wilson in the chat room. He's in New Zealand, and of course New Zealand had a massive earthquake before Christmas. And he said, I totally agree with you, Ewan, earthquakes, no power for 24 hours. It brings you back to the basics really quickly. So technology makes you stupid, you've got to be careful.
Yeah.
The analog TV signal was turned off to free up frequencies for 4G, so FM switch off might be a very similar story, says Deep Pan.
Yes, the airwaves are very crowded. We do know that.
Yeah, good point. Good discussion. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. We love them to bits. They are absolutely awesome. And we couldn't do the show without them. They give us all the bandwidth. They give us all the server space, all that kind of stuff. If you would like anything for the net, VPN, VPS, domain name, co-location services, dedicated servers, then check out UK2 first. Use our links through from our webpage and use the offer codes that we've got there. And failing that, just send out a tweet that says, thanks at UK2 for supporting British Tech next time you get a chance. Because that means a lot to us and it means a lot to them, and we get kudos for it. And also, please look after Hoya, because they've supported us as well this year. And I've got to say, I am pretty, pretty excited, because they said, come the new year, we'll measure you for your Uniku glasses. And guess what? It's the new year. I haven't had my invite yet, Mark. But I can't wait. They're going to come down. I'm going to go to them, I think, because it's a big old scanning piece of equipment. They will scan my face and head, and then they will manufacture glasses from that scan that will fit me and only me. They don't work for anyone else in the same position. They are totally unique to my face. All the position of the lenses, the way that they sit on my face, the compensation for my broken nose will all be factored into the frames that they print. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait for it. I'm going to be dead excited when we get to that. We'll do a little film and everything when that happens as well. If you want the Avantech lenses, though, the ones I'm wearing at the moment, then all you've got to do is go to podcast@hoya.co.uk and send them an email asking them where they can get fitted, and they'll come down. One of the Hoya reps will be there. They'll do the whole measurement of your face, because BTNers get this special treatment. No one else gets this. And then they'll make your lenses for you. So if you want, and please get in touch with Mark. And again, just put out to Hoya_UK on Twitter saying thanks for supporting BTM, because they look after us as well. Cheers.
And Ewan, I've got, although mine are not Avantech frames, I've got Ray-Ban frames, I've got Hoya New Look Active lenses in these glasses, and the difference between these and the sort of the standard optician's basic glass is huge compared for me having these Hoya lenses put in. So the Hoya glasses.
So you just took your own frames along. You took your own frames along, and they fitted the lenses to fit your frames.
No. I'd sorted out the optician's frames. So got the frames, got the glasses, got the glass. Massive difference between the standard optician's cheap glass that you get free.
Bloody hell. Well, there you go. I didn't know we could do that. So you can take your own glasses along and still get some new lenses for them. That's pretty cool. Right, time for the cool thing. Start us off, Camps.
So there we go. It's a pair of Bluetooth headphones, and I know we've talked a lot about headphones in terms of picks over the last probably year or so. I had a pair of the Blue Dio, is it the handbrake ones, I think they were called, something like that.
And I
broke them. So I was at work. I just wanted a cheap pair of Bluetooth headphones just for me to leave in my desk drawer at work to pick up as and when I need them. I had a quick look, and I ordered these Empow Bluetooth wireless headphones, $17.99 in the UK Amazon store. Came on Prime to obviously deliver the next day. I'm really, really impressed with them. They're really comfortable. They're a little bit bassy from a music point of view, but I'm tending to find that most of the on-ear earphones are quite bassy at the moment. But they come with a wire, so you can use them wired or you can use them Bluetooth. But the thing that really surprised me with these is the Bluetooth range on them. It's huge. I'd left my phone on my desk, kept these headphones just while I went to just like the water machine around the corner. It's probably a good 35, 40 feet away. No breaking, no crackling, no dodginess in terms of the sound that was coming through. The Bluetooth reception was fantastic, and they're only $17.99.
That's incredible. And there's also a promotion on them at the moment. I'm looking on Amazon. It says that there's you can buy one and you get discounts on other selected products. There's two promotions that go along with it. So.
Yeah, they're a little bit tight when I first used them, but just a little gentle manipulation, sort of the metal headband bar, just wiring that very slightly. But once I've done that, really comfortable.
Yeah, they were a bit tight, but once I'd broken them, they were fine.
No, they didn't break. I were gentle.
Yeah, I had some of those Blue Dios that Rich Harkness mentioned. I haven't come to throw them away, but I can't charge them anymore. I let the charge go completely from them, and the battery won't charge up now. So they are screwed as a result. But good pick, mate. Like that. Under 20.
Yeah, I've got a few Empow products now, and they seem to be coming forward with reasonable equipment. I think it was fairly cheap initially, but they seem to be moving forward and getting better. These look all right, actually.
Yeah, a few Anchor stuff as well that's coming through, which is nice.
Yeah.
There's some big... See, this is one of the points I made on the Mac Show. It's a fickle old business. Once something comes along which grasps people's attention, your market could disappear in a heartbeat. And an Anchor, I reckon, are the new Chinese Apple.
Yes.
At some point, you watch.
Yeah.
Watch with interest.
Get shares in that company.
Too right. I don't think you can, but never mind.
No.
Gaz, what's your cool thing?
I don't think I've shown it on the show before. It's this. If you can see that.
Is it a measurey thing?
It is. As we've recently moved, this has been really, really useful. And the link I've put in the show notes is, again, Amazon. And I think it's about £27, £26.99 at the moment. And takes a couple of, I think it's AAA batteries. It's got memory on it. You can do angles on it. There's all sorts of different units that you can put on it. Different types of measurements. I've been using it for pretty basic stuff. You can measure from the back of the unit, so you can butt up against something like that, or you can measure it from the front. So if you've got a wall and you want to just put it on the edge, you can then measure it from the front of the unit. And obviously it's got a little laser dot on it. And this one, I think, measures up to about 40 meters, which is quite a good range, actually, for these little products. But obviously I've been using it around the house to do measurements, putting up curtain rails, all sorts of stuff, making sure I've got the right length, and also doing some measurements on the house itself so we can go forward with some changes. And I thought £27. Obviously I got it before we moved in, and it's been really good. So yeah, my cool thing. I've got another cool thing in case I'd shown that before, but it's a little bit different on the value wise. Shall I post it in the...
Go on.
I'll post it in... And it's mainly because there's a certain show on down in London at the moment. Now, the item that I put in there, when you click on that link, it's a Sunseeker 68 Sport Yacht. It's 1.6 million. I've started saving.
This isn't on Prime, is it, this one?
And then you blew it on a house.
But I don't think I'll get it just yet. Yeah, I've got a few years to save for that.
It's a good one. Do you know what? I'm going to start an argument here, maybe. I don't know. But there's a certain point with boats where I think they see you coming. I've got a mate who's got a boat, and he his parents died and left him some money, and he's a big sailor. He's a very good sailor. I've been sailing with him, and he's a nice. It was a nice time, and he bought himself a 38-foot boat with it, and with the money from his parents' estate, and he used to be honest to me. He said, "It really pisses me off, right, that I got a bog seat." And the bog seat is a specific shape. So I could go down to B&Q and buy a plastic bog seat for 15 quid and it would be just fine. But because of the fact it's got to be in this specific area, it can't be a full-size bog seat, it's slightly smaller, I have to buy one from the boat manufacturer. And his bog seat was over £100. And it was just like, he said, that's what really pisses me off about boats and yachting. And you look at the size of that boat, and yeah, it's a lovely looking boat, don't get me wrong. But I'm just thinking, it's half the size of my house, and it's £1.4 million. Dream on. If I had £1.4 million, I wouldn't spend it on that.
Well, if your toilet seat got wet on that, you'd just have to run around the side.
If you only had £1.4 million, no, you probably wouldn't spend it on that. But if you had a spare £1.4 million,
no,
in your back
I still
pocket,
wouldn't. I'd be in there haggling.
Yeah.
See,
get it cheaper.
If I'm in the Matrix and I wanted to keep civil order and be happy, boats would be a bit cheaper.
I like it.
There you go.
Back to me measuring stick.
No, we're going to start a slogan campaign, right? That it's going to be, if this is the Matrix, and then you've got to put a thing in there that would be socially correct that's not correct now. So that's mine, okay? If this is the Matrix, boats would be cheaper. There you go. And we'll get a shirt made up. If this is the Matrix, ... And then you can add on your own slogan at the bottom.
Yeah, I like it, yeah. I knew that pick would be useful.
just started an argument. Oh, no, now Martin Kelly actually showed me how to use one of those. Because what you can do is use. Have you mastered the memory on it yet?
Yes and no.
So
I tried it a couple of times, thought I'd got the hang of it, and then about a day or so later, I tried it again, and then messed it up.
So if you've got something that you wanted to measure the width of it, like a kitchen work surface that was freestanding, you could put it to front measure and measure to a wall, then put that in memory, then put it in back measure and put it at the front of the cabinet, and then you can do a memory minus on it and it'll tell you the size of the
difference. Thing. I haven't got to that point. No. Yeah,
he showed me how to do it, but he did it so fast I haven't got a frigging clue.
But, well, I'll try and learn and do a demonstration next time.
Yeah, no, that's it. Oh, man.
I can measure my boat with it.
You can measure your boat with it.
Would you measure with it, Ewan, based on earlier confessions?
It depends if it does depends if it does millimetres or not. Oh, man. My cool thing are ear skins, ear pod covers. They were given to me by Richard Harkness. There's a picture. They're in the chat room there. And they are absolutely brilliant. So basically, if you've got you get your earpods from Apple. And I don't know about anyone else, but they don't stay in my ears. My wife can't even get them in her ears because she's got really small lug holes. But I put mine in and they just fall out constantly. They're absolutely sod all use. And these things are little jackets. They're like a mil-thick rubberized jacket that you put over the top of your AirPods, and then you put them in. And I thought with people getting the AirPods through now, these might be useful for them to have a go with. So you put these things in. There's a range of 10 colours, and they're £6.95 on Prime. So there you go, free delivery as well.
Yeah, it looks
but
good.
I'm sure they're vastly ripping you off at that, because they probably cost next to nothing to make. But they are very good quality. They're really nicely made. They fit snugly on the front, and they really do stop them from falling out your ears.
It's a shame that the shape of those pods don't actually suit my ears, because they actually become painful for them.
I might
get some of these and just see if that changes it.
Do you remember those spectrogram things that were like those pictures that if you looked at them you could see 3D shapes, but most people looked at them, they didn't see it. And it was like, I reckon it was like in King's New Clothes. you know, everyone's going, oh yeah, I can definitely see that. It's a, it's a, it's an otter with a fox on its back crossing a river. And you're like, no, it's not. It's just a bunch of crazy dots. And I think it's AirPods are the same. Everyone goes, oh yeah, yeah, they fit me perfectly. I bet AirPods fit nobody perfectly, but no one will admit to the fact that they don't. See, now if we're in the Matrix,
no, fellas,
fellas, if we were in the Matrix, AirPods would fucking fit.
All the earbuds would fit.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, I've got some Bose. Earbuds that I wear every single day, and they're on the way out. They're starting to get a bit cracked now. Wired ones, but Bose don't make them anymore. I'm a little worried that when these do go, what am I going to wear?
Sure, E2Cs I used to use.
Sure, stop making fantastic in ear stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and they were brilliant, and then they stopped making them, and I love those, and yeah. Lost them, broke them, whatever. Buying second-hand earbuds.
No.
Hang on, I've got to find mine, because mine are, the best thing I bought last year for audio listening was me molded ear things. So they weren't cheap. I mean, they're 80 quid a set, but those fit my ear perfectly because they're molded out of my ear. And then you just take your existing earphones, and I can put AirPods in there, or I can put me Bose in there, and they're absolutely peachy.
I think I suggested those once. I'm not sure if it was on your show, but I suggested those. I think I'm...
Mine are from a
Chuck
firm
Joiners.
Called M-Tech, who they do. This is what they
I don't think it was them. I don't think it was
You can go and get your ears moulded by anybody. So if you go to a National Hearing Centre place, there's me invisible one, and there's me red one. If you go to a National Hearing place, thanks for the butt, then you can get your ears moulded there, and then you can just send the moulds to M-Tech, and they'll make them from it. As long as you've got someone who's competent to make the moulds, really, that's all that matters.
But, yeah.
They're in Shropshire, so they're a nice little journey out, middle of the countryside, and you can go and have a pub lunch afterwards, and it's great. That's
cool.
Where can we get a hold of your camps?
I'm Camping UK on Twitter, normally in the Slack room, and been working with writing. We've been putting a few reviews up and blog posts and things like that on BritishTechNetwork.com. So go nip along, have a look at them, and give us some comments.
Here we go. Mr. Wilson in the chat room. In the Matrix, there wouldn't be any supply issues with Apple. See?
He didn't say Apple. He doesn't say Apple.
No, it doesn't, but I know what he meant. I know what he meant. If we were in the Matrix, there wouldn't be any supply issues. Gaz, where are you, mate?
On the Twitters, twitter.com/ Gazmaz, G-A-Z-M-A-Z, or on the mymac.com network with a podcast called MyMac. And I do that with a certain gentleman called Guy Searle, and we refer to ourselves as the G-Men, and we take a rather... well, enjoyable look at Mac news on a weekly basis.
What video was Mac Jim going on about something with a seagull or something? Or?
He'd lost me. He'd lost me.
Mate, he loses me every day. Right, okay. I'm glad we got that sorted.
It meant something to him. He'll explain it to me one day, and I'll go, oh, of course.
Yeah, no, I didn't get it. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week. We're having a bit of a shuffle around in the next few weeks. So live shows next week are on Wednesday. The following week they're on Friday. And then the week after that they're on the Thursday. So we've got a bit of shooting around to do. But next week we're on Wednesday. So if you want to come along, that's the time. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. And we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.